You're listening to Never Off Duty. So this is very exciting for me because we have Sheriff Cook back in the hot seat. And it's got to be only because it's been, you know, you weren't, you know, you were here for, I'm sorry, you weren't, it's been not.
You're just forgetting me so quickly.
I should almost just start over, but I'm not, so everybody can realize what a bumbling idiot I am.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. You're what is it? Starstruck?
That's what Starstruck.
I am. Yeah. Okay. All right. And newly promoted Chief Dominic.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, effective July 1st. So we'll see how he does on this podcast today.
Yeah. Congratulations. That is really
appreciate
awesome.
Appreciate that. July 1 effective. So.
Oh, wow.
Still got a little bit of time to screw it up. I hope not, but.
We're going to be monitoring your talk today on this podcast.
Okay.
All right.
Is there a special chief training or is it just like the years of
it's
experience?
It's OJT.
What?
It's on the job training.
Okay. Okay.
He's done a great job, though.
No,
he's
has.
It. Yeah, absolutely.
He has and continue to will to do. Will, man, that's one of those days. I even had coffee today. I was listening to our last podcast, the one that we recorded before the fair, but posted after the fair, because I have to listen to these when I edit them. I do listen to the show.
But, you'll get rolling here in a minute.
I was slurring my words because I remembered like I was really tired.
I remember that because you were telling us how tired you were.
And so that was, so I'm not hopefully slurring my words today, but apparently I'm
What is in that cup that you're drinking there, Judson?
Yes, it's just coffee.
Okay.
I quick sidebar. We're going to talk about stats today, by the way.
That sounds so boring. We're going to talk about how safe Clay County is today. That's what we're going to talk about.
Actually, it's a very exciting show, but you know it's good. I get to see in-house some of the stat sheets, and when there's graphics, you know, I mean, there's actually some really cool graphics. There looks like, from my angle, a guy throwing away some trash in front of some felons, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding.
it's like a guy throwing a hand grenade to me, but okay.
Actually, it does. Now that you say it, I have to see this. I'm sorry. Here, listen to the
shuffling of the papers.
Shuffling of the paperwork.
The official paperwork.
Oh no! It's
an instructor.
An instructor instructing people with a plus check sign on a shield. So that's great. We're going to go through all this. I'm trying to make it more exciting because, like you said, it's going to be a great show.
I hope we haven't lost anybody in the first 3 minutes.
I know.
Please stay with us.
I know. Sorry about that as I derailed the show completely. I will say this because I have a cup of coffee.
Okay.
But I have to tell a quick side story here. So I was on a board meeting, and it was a special emergency Zoom one. And I had a glass of iced tea, but I had it in a scotch tumbler, which I did not put two and two together. So I'm like, I'm just sipping my iced tea. And next thing I know, I get a text from the president of the board. And he's like, man, are you drinking scotch? And I'm like, because it looked just like scotch. And I was like, that was a great idea. But no, I'm not. It's iced tea. So
iced tea out of a scotch tumbler. That's nice.
Yeah, that's what I had. You know, sometimes you just, I was a horrible bachelor when I literally owned nothing.
Because
like if I'll just
Poor
grab
Kelly.
A scotch tumbler for iced tea, what
Kelly's
what did
raising
I do?
Three kids in this house.
yes. All right. So this is exciting. We're gonna go through some quick facts first, and then kind of go from there. And we'll touch on the basis of things that I think are interesting, or soon to be chief thinks interesting. Can I call you that
soon to be chief?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't even think we said who we are. They don't even know who's got promoted.
Hi.
Oh yeah. Oh.
I'm Dominic Panicia. How are you?
Dominic, nice to meet you.
And I'm Judson Sapp.
And I'm Sheriff Michelle Cook. All right, we're going to talk about the 2023 statistics for Clay County. And, you know, Clay County continues to be just a very safe community. And it really is because of the men and women every day who come into work, who put on the uniform, who go out and serve this community, and the men and women behind the scenes who support that effort. So what we wanted to do today is share some facts with our listeners. Because I think some of these numbers people are going to find quite stunning when it talks about the amount of work that goes on here in Clay County. And although it's a lot of work, and we're going to share these numbers, we're just exceptionally safe, and we're really, really proud of that. So just some quick facts for you. Clay County is 644 square miles.
Massive.
Massive. Yeah. And we have primary jurisdiction over most of that. We do have the two police departments in our county, Green Cove and Orange Park. But combined, they cover about 25, 26 square miles. So the overwhelming majority of the 644 square miles falls upon the Clay County Sheriff's Office to provide safety and security. So last year, we handled 257,132 calls for service.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm tired.
And, yeah. And, well, to put that in perspective, though, is how many – and, oh, boy, I'm going to – hold on. We're going to pause. Okay, we're back. No, I did that, so in case I have to edit out. I'm just kidding, folks. We don't edit out. But how many – so with that number, how many deputies do we have is – roughly,
the average is probably obviously, and I know it changes because two shifts a day. But you're looking at what we try to not, we never try to go below 19.
That's the staggering, that's what I was trying to get to. Thank 19 you for where I'm going.
Basically, working the day shift and then 19 at least, never more than like 23 on the night shift. But then you got supplemental units, you got traffic units out there, you got community police, and you got civil units, task force.
But it's still, it's a staggering amount of work for the size. And that's what I was trying to get at.
We have about 320 funded positions, and at any given time, we'll have about 300 people working. There's always turnover and new classes being hired and stuff like that. And then, so let's just say we have 300 deputies right now. Well, you know, statutorily, we're required to provide courtroom security. Statutorily, we're required to do civil process. So a lot of our deputies right off the bat are parsed out for these other positions. And then we also have detectives. We have a traffic unit. We have a fugitive unit. We have a task force. So we have all these other units. So the deputies on the street, the call handlers, so to speak, we average between 19 and 23 in the daytime and 19 to 23 at night. And we are looking, based upon these numbers, looking to add a mid-shift this year, which will give us more coverage during the peak calls for service hours. And so we're hoping to have that stood up.
That's great.
Towards the end of the year. Yeah, it is. And because we are very busy. I mean, 257,000 calls for service, which is 700 calls a day.
Right.
Coming in. And those are just the ones, and I want to say this, those are just the ones that we've captured. I cannot tell you how many times we receive a call in the office, or somebody calls my phone, somebody calls Chief Panichia's phone and says, hey, can you send somebody by here to handle this? So there's a lot of service that's provided that I don't think is necessarily correct. Captured because we're in the service industry and we're just so used to doing that sometimes we stopped it. Make sure it's counted.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we've talked about the impact you have, not even realizing the impact you have just by being out there, the presence.
Oh, it's huge.
And what you're deterring and stuff like that. So there's that fact is, that number is staggering.
Well, and it goes back to me where I've brought this up many times on the show, the number of times I see a deputy helping a citizen out of something that's really not in their purview, but it could lead to it. I mean, you talk about somebody loses a car, a wheel on the side of the road, and the wheel goes across the highway. That could lead to something else. So they're already preemptively out there solving the problem. Mm-hmm. Or somebody is pulled over. They're not potentially in a safely pulled over zone. They pull back there and turn on the lights to make sure that everybody sees it. And preemptively stopping problems. Absolutely. That's great.
Absolutely. And again, sometimes that's not even captured. You get out and help somebody and you don't even call it in, so to speak. Another interesting fact is that we made 4,421 arrests last year.
Wow. 4,421. All right,
arrests.
Clay County, let's get our act together. Let's get that number down.
Well, as the county continues to grow, I think that number is going to go up, which is why we're currently in an expansion project for our jail, adding about 85 more beds. But we are at capacity now. Our jail capacity is 492. We're averaging about 460, 470 inmates daily now. When a jail is at 80% of its max capacity, then it's considered full, because when there's 492 people in there, there's nowhere to move around.
Right.
And so you may have somebody who's got the flu or somebody who's got an issue and you want to segregate them or move them around, it becomes much more difficult. So for the sake of operations, 80% at capacity is considered at capacity. We are over capacity, and we are currently expanding our footprint to add the 85 beds. Which will help us out for the short term, but we're going to have to come up with a long term solution.
Well, and I want to talk briefly on this, because I'm trying to pad an hour-long show. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking completely. We actually usually always go over the hour-long mark. But it's what is amazing to me is, given the location of the jail, it is stashed. It's between the sheriff's office and
the courthouse.
There's not much room to operate. I mean, honestly, it took some creativity to solve a problem short term. I believe short term.
Yes.
But even like watching it as I drive by, I live in Green Cove, how like they're doing, you know, things from the outside. Yeah. I saw like lifting things in through windows.
About it, though, Judson, is all these short term fixes with the growth that's coming, they're not going to be sustainable.
No,
at some point we got to have the long term fix.
Yeah, right. And we're out of space. There's no more footprint to build on or add up. There's no more footprint. So we are fully using the space that has been allocated to us. And to your point, Dominic, we're going to have to come up with a long term solution. But this short term, expansion will get us another few years, hopefully.
Yeah.
But going back to the stats, so 4,421 arrests. Now, what I find very telling, and it speaks to the professionalism of this agency, is of all those 4,421 arrests, 51 times we had to use force.
That is amazing.
We're not afraid to use force, right? We will put our hands on somebody if we have to. But when 1% of all your arrests require force, what that tells me as a 33-year professional is that these men and women know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They know how to talk to people. They know how to de-escalate. They know how to do all that. And when they have to put their hands on somebody, it's at the point they've exhausted everything else. And so, you know, that's one of the numbers I keep an eye on, is how much use of force are we using? Because when your use of force starts increasing, it could be a training issue. It could be making sure we have the right tools on our tool belt issue. It could be that our deputies are burned out, which is not a good thing. So we monitor the use of force, and that's one of the numbers that I pay very close attention to.
Yeah, pretty much every time a use of force is used, they're required to document that. And those come to either myself or Assistant Chief Clark in the South End. And I can't tell you, as the sheriff just said, how many times I kind of write the same thing. I read the narrative. I read why the use of force was justified. And then it's always the least amount of force that was needed to resolve that situation. And then they stopped. And that's just a good feeling.
Well, and I think, I say this as a person who runs a company, that you lead from you at the top set the example. And I'm going to embarrass Sheriff Cook here. And you do not talk about it publicly often, or actually ever, but it was on social media, so I got to see it. I go back to the machete incident where you talked somebody down instead of, I mean, honestly, you could have seen there are probably in America, not Florida, sheriffs that if there was a person with a machete acting that way, would have bowed up for the camera, and I don't think you even knew a camera there. If you did, that was amazing. But
I had no idea.
So, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like that presence of, I want to get on Fox News, so I'm going to take this person down and show what a BA
do a hood slide.
Yeah, but no, you did it like we would want our deputies to
professional. We pride ourselves on being a professional law enforcement, and when you start showboating or doing things for the camera or slamming people because they've made you mad, you've lost control.
Right.
You've lost control of yourself and of the professionalism, and that sort of activity erodes community trust. Look, I will be the first to tell you right here, right now, there is a time to punch somebody in the face. There's a time for that. But it doesn't need to be every time.
Right.
And when you do it, you need to be, number one, very confident in your skill level, confident in your training, and justified in that use of force. And if you are, you're going to be fine. But the 1% of our use of forces out of all of our arrests tells me that our deputies are talking to people, they're practicing patience, they're letting people sort of vent and get it all out, and then calming them down. And then when they do use force, they're using it quickly, swiftly, appropriately, and effectively.
That's great. Mm-hmm. As a citizen, that's what I want to hear. So that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So that's another good stat. You know, guess what the number one complaint we get is? Do you know what the number one complaint?
You know this.
Is it the tailgaters on Dr. Sleep Drive?
Well, you're getting warm. Our number one complaint, and this is not a bad place to be, our number one complaint is traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get so many traffic complaints.
Which is kind of not something y'all can actually control, unless it's a special, you know, I mean, there's a very niche circumstances you can control, because the reality is you don't control funding for highways. You don't control planning for highway designs. In fact, maybe I would actually even venture to say if some, and maybe you are included on this, and I apologize if you are, but I mean, honestly, the problem is they plan roads 15 years out.
Sure.
And it's hard to go, you know, yeah, though this is going to be a problem in 15 years. So it is hard. I mean,
I'm going to throw a stat at you. It's okay. Very shocking. So the number one complaint in our county is traffic, which is kind of good. It's not robberies or something like that. Right. So year to date, January to, it's only April. How many traffic stops do you think we've done?
This year, 2024.
This year, just this year.
Oh, jeez, put me on the, I don't know. I'm guessing low, probably.
12,232.
I was actually, it had to have been high, but I was just.
Just this year, 12,232 traffic stops.
Wow.
And so, let me make it very clear. We're not trying to generate revenue. No. In fact, we get almost nothing when it comes to writing tickets. And the legislature has purposely done that because they do not want agencies writing tickets as a revenue generator. It goes to trauma units for pediatrics. I mean, there's some really interesting ways that money is parsed out, and we don't get much of it at all. In fact, pennies on the dollar that goes through a general revenue fund that could potentially, you know, come to us. But we do not use traffic as a revenue generator. Our ultimate goal is to educate people on safe driving.
Right.
We had 25 fatalities last year, and you know, every one of those is preventable. Mm-hmm. I mean, most traffic fatalities, unless there's a catastrophic car failure, but I guess even that's preventable. Yep. You know, traffic fatalities are preventable.
Right. And back up your statement, 50% of them stops I just told you about resulted in a warning.
Warning citation.
To educate
that is awesome. That is
great. In fact, in 2023, going back to last year, we did 28,475 traffic stops. Let me repeat that, 28,475 traffic stops. And of those 28,000, 12,000 warning citations were issued. So just shy of half were issuing warnings because, our goal is to educate. And at the end of the day, you know, we give our deputies discretion on how to handle the traffic stop. What is the ultimate outcome? Mm-hmm. Because they are the ones in it at that moment to take into account the egregiousness of the infraction, any mitigating, you know, things that are happening. But almost half of our traffic stops result in a warning. So, you know, we just want people to be safe. There's nothing more horrible than pulling up on a traffic crash that was very preventable and seeing a bunch of dead bodies.
Right. Yeah, that's the worst case scenario.
Yep.
Yeah, and public service announcement, please drive safely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, back off the person. That's the number one. As a driver, that's what I see is when the person, usually there's a person behind causes the problem of the person in front, and, you know, they cut over and hit some, I don't know.
Yep.
A little less aggressive driver would be nice.
Yep.
That's about it.
So a couple of other interesting facts. We, and this is one I people are just astounded when I tell them. Our public records unit, which is, I think, 7 people.
Yeah, it's not many.
It's not many. They processed 30,000 public records requests last year.
Wow.
30,000. So that's somebody coming in and saying, I need a copy of, or I'd like to see this. People ask for everything from emails to copies of reports to.
It's at almost 100 a day. What's the math? 100 a day?
Just shy of 100 a day. Yeah.
So that's
crazy.
That is not easy to process.
No. And you know, we are entering into the body-worn camera realm here soon. Mm-hmm. We're going to be T&E and. Some body-worn cameras, and I expect the public records request to probably double with the onboarding of the body-worn cameras. But that's 30,000 of those.
That is amazing. Yeah. I have to tell you this about body cameras really quickly because I found this fascinating. It came out just in the news, and then we're going to go back to stats. I'm sorry. But so there's a police department using body cam, and their body cam now has AI to help write police reports. And I thought that was actually fascinating because it cuts down on, it gets, you know, the less time you're spending writing a report, the more time you're able to patrol. And I thought that was fascinating.
I'm just, as it's viewing it?
It, yeah, it does it like real time. So it can, I think, I don't know how it works. Like if you press a button or, I mean, this is state of the art. Nobody else is doing this. That's why it was in the news. Like it's just,
wow,
like just started. And one there, it's like a test thing, so it's probably not even available yet. But
the only thing I don't like about that is that officer's feeling. You know, when you go to a scene or something, what was he experiencing? What was his, you know, his instincts, his training telling him up? You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Well, what I would hope is it's kind of like I've used it for corporate stuff where it takes tool. The note and then you go in there and add in, right. You know, kind of figure it. It gives you the bullet points mm-hmm. and then you kind of add it there is what I hope it is.
It's a tool. Yeah.
It's a tool.
It's a tool. Yeah. I tell you, it's interesting though, talking about body worn cameras and AI, if the deputies were sort of verbalizing what they were sensing and smelling and seeing, you know, I'm walking up the driveway and I smell smoke and I hear people yelling.
Because that's something you might forget, like something you might, I smelled methane, and then you forget that you smelled methane, and then suddenly you look back. I'm just throwing that out there because
the future's
the technology amazing. Is crazy.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I know we kind of touched on this like a couple of episodes ago.
We did.
So, but sorry, all I right, got this.
Back to my stats, man. Back to my stats.
You know, stats are my favorite.
I know.
We'll tell stories later.
I'll tell a stat. You guys tell a story. Okay, we got this. Talking about investigations, so we have a robbery homicide unit, special victims. We have detectives that are assigned to do nothing but domestic violence, financial crimes, internet crimes against children, which is a big one for us, burglary, auto crimes, all of those. And last year, we had 233 detective call-outs, which means something happened after hours, and they had to leave their house, leave their family, get dressed, and come in.
How many was that?
233.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, two out of every 3 days, basically, somebody's getting a call out. And our investigators looked at 2,760 cases last year. Now, you know, you go back to 257,000 calls for service. I want people to keep in mind that all of those are not crimes. It could be, you know, I smell methane.
Right.
Call 911. Or there's a dog barking. Or, you know,
there's a rattlesnake in my house.
There's a rattlesnake in my house. There's an alligator in my yard.
I saw that. That was a great video of was that who was that, that got the, do you know off the top of your head who was the
Deputy
one?
Deputy Dundee.
Okay.
Deputy Dundee.
That's a joke.
That's hilarious. Crocodile Dundee. I love that.
Guy was a stud in that video, wasn't he?
That was pretty awesome.
Mercy.
So, you know, most of the calls that we get are not criminal nature, which again, it's a great thing, right? Mm-hmm. We're here to help our community, but most of the calls that we get are not crimes. But our detectives followed up 2,760 cases. Now, so people often ask me, well, what's your clearance rate? And you know, what does that look like? And so our clearance rate for last year, and we're still firming up the numbers, and I'll talk about that change here in a moment, but about 40% of our criminal cases are cleared. But there's so much more than just the criminal cases, as you can just see from the numbers that we do. And it could be a missing person, not criminal, but we spend a lot of time on it, stuff like that. So the other thing that we've started looking at, and I think it's really important, is we call it resolved. What percentage of our calls are we doing some sort of investigation, maybe not criminal, and we're effectively resolving it for the community? And we're at about 70% right now.
Wow.
And so this is something new we're looking at. And it's going to be, we're going to really focus on getting that number higher. I still think that's a really good number, because if you call and say, hey, I was standing in my driveway at 10 o'clock at night, you know, letting my dog out, and I saw a suspicious guy walk down the road, and you call and we get there and we can't find the guy, you know, that's not resolved. Mm-hmm. But if we find the guy, then it would be count as resolved. So there are, you know, 30% unresolved, I think, is okay, because there's a lot of
cases. There's some things you're just never
going to figure out. It's not criminal. It's just something weird, or somebody had a question about something. So it's non-criminal, non-law enforcement related.
Like I heard shooting in, I live near the forest. Well,
Yeah, that's a perfect example.
That might have been just somebody practicing. We don't know, but it's resolved. I mean, it's not resolved.
And another thing is the 40% you talked about with the clearance. Like 40% in some things is not good, but in clearances, that's extremely good.
Yes,
so, that's way above the national average. Yeah, and our violent crime clearance is even higher than that.
Which is awesome. I mean, you're right.
That's really what you want. Yeah,
because people sitting on my side of the desk, that's what we want. That's the more we clear violent crimes, the better.
And what's so great about Clay County is, you know, the majority of our what I call, you know, what is considered a violent crime is there's some sort of a relationship there. So it could be domestic, it could be landlord tenant, it could be cousins fighting. I mean, there's some sort of relationship. We do not have the stranger danger violent crime. You don't have to worry about going out your front door and getting mugged. You don't have to worry about going into the shopping plaza and getting your purse snatched. You just, in Clay County, you don't have to worry about that. And that's our intent is to keep Clay County that way.
That's great.
That's absolutely my intent. So, you know, we're staying busy, lots of calls, not a ton of crime. And you know, our deputies are absolutely doing the right thing. I want to talk a little bit about drugs now. And last year, 2 years ago, we had the largest fentanyl drug seizure, the 777s case. It was enough fentanyl to kill 4 million people,
which is amazing. I've heard this when you was out publicly talked about that, and that when I first heard that stat, it's mind-bogglingly.
Well, if you think about the population of Clay County, let's just say it's 225,000. We recovered, and it was Fleming Island, enough fentanyl to kill 4 million people, everybody in Northeast Florida, plus some.
Staggering.
Yeah, that was 2 years ago. Last year, we recovered enough fentanyl to kill 427,000 people, double the population. And this year, we've recovered enough fentanyl probably to kill about 3 million people already this year.
That's staggering.
It's scary. And you know, I'll get on my soapbox here for a minute. Until we close the borders, it's going to be an issue. You know, people say, well, you're wasting your time fighting the war on drugs. You know, that may be the position some people take. But if I have to fight drugs to keep my kids safe, then I'm going to fight it all day long. Right. I think we, you know, to just sort of roll over and say, well, drugs are part of our society. No, I'm not accepting that. And, you know, is it an uphill battle? Absolutely. But it's a fight I'm going to fight because I don't want my kindergartner smoking a joint in the bathroom at school.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're absolutely committed to fighting drugs. I just increased the size of the narcotics unit because we had to get additional staffing. And so we are absolutely committed to fighting drugs. And over the last 3 years, if you take the last 3 years average, we've arrested 630 people a year average for the last 3 years.
Wow.
On drug charges. So we take drugs very seriously, but you got to close the borders.
Right.
All right. That's number one. Number two, the state, you know, has an obligation to do state level drug investigations. And then at the local level, we do ours. And you know, if one of those three shields have fallen, then it makes it hard. And right now the borders are wide open and people are running across the river or the street with drugs in their backpack.
Right.
And but we're not going to give up the fight. I'm not giving up the fight. Well, you know, I'll go down fighting, but I'm not giving up the fight.
I like to use the analogy of, like, think about the American Revolution. We should not have been able to defeat England. I mean, that was but a small group said, we're just going to keep fighting and fighting and fighting. And then eventually other power, you know, other things changed. They stepped in, which is what we're hoping with the war on drugs, is that, you know, you're putting up the fight here. And then eventually we hope that federally the government goes, oh yeah, you know, we're going to take this serious now and actually solve some of these problems that are the root of the problem. And, but if you weren't putting up the fight, imagine how much worse it would be.
Imagine if we didn't do drug investigations, it'd be wide open.
I was talking to one of our supervisors in narcotics, to your point on the border and how that affects just the drugs in America. So, cocaine now. He was telling me, this is just 2 days ago, cocaine, $15,000 a kilo, where 2-3 years ago, 60,000 to 70,000. So the market is so flooded with that coming over the border and the ease of access that the price has just dropped out of it, which is a terrible, scary thing. I mean, it's got to stop. Mm-hmm. It's got to stop. And we ain't going to stop, like you said. And we've got you beefing up that narcotics unit. I came from narcotics a few years ago. The talent that's there right now.
Incredible.
Is written. Not that we weren't great, but I'm telling you, they got a combo over there right now. I'm not going to throw their names out.
I know who you're talking about. They are incredible.
They are just good at what they do, and they don't stop. And you're going to see some big stuff coming, I think, in the next year.
Well, yes. That is great. All right, I think this is a good part for a little break. Sure. We'll take a break, and when we get back,
we're going to let Dominic talk about some stats he has.
Okay.
Was there anything else you want to get before we go to break?
I think when we come back, we'll talk about our 2024 priorities, and I'd love to talk about some training because everybody's always asking what kind of training do we get. Yep.
So this is never off duty. I got to do a couple of plugs here. Sheriff@claysheriff.com is a great place to ask any questions, not just podcast related, but if you do put podcast in the subject, it helps out. That the website is claysheriff.com.
Claysheriff.com.
So easy. That would be a place if you want to put an application in, find out more information there. Podcast related, though, we did pass 5,000 unique listeners. So thank you very much.
Absolutely.
That's really impressive from knowing how podcasts work. That's actually, I'm really excited about that. But tell your friends, share it. Very easy to share, very easy to tell people because they can go to any major podcasting group or the Sheriff's website and listen to it if they don't want to download a player themselves. So it's please share and like. Well, I don't think you like, but whatever on podcast. Maybe you do on app. Yeah, you could rate it. You could rate it. That's right.
So you
could rate us a 5 or whatever the top score is, and we'd appreciate that. I wouldn't do anything less.
Plug.
The algorithms don't work. It's like the car dealerships. They're like, you either got to give me a 5 or don't even fill it out because I don't get my bonus unless
just
you get the 5.
Just don't tell the sheriff what the most popular episode was. I don't want to hurt
it. It was the fair episode.
I think it was the undersheriff and myself. Fishing episode, but I don't want to get non-promoted.
You haven't put the stars on yet.
That's
there,
true.
Chief.
That's true. I'll shut up.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. So, anyways, do please share and send in your questions. You are listening to Never Off Duty. Okay, we are back to Never Off Duty. So we made an agreement with the sheriff that we were allowed to share stories per stats. I'm just kidding. No, but off mic, we were talking. There's an amazing story we do want to get out there, and then we're going to talk more about the
year-to-date
stuff, which I actually find fascinating because I think that really sets the benchmark there. But before we go into that, since you sat through the 10-second break, if you're listening, let's talk about what you were –
I just love to share those. You know, we do all this work and sometimes you don't get a lot of feedback on things. And this is a 14-year-old story that just popped up yesterday. I got a call from, he's a friend of mine, but he's also a sergeant here. His name's Jeff Anderson. And he's just a great guy. Spent some time in patrol 14 years ago and then did a lot of time in investigations and intelligence. But 14 years ago, he was actually my beat partner. We were in the Fleming Island area. He responded to a call where a doctor was having a medical episode in a car. And Jeff was just in the right time, the right place, and was the first one on the scene. He actually beat fire rescue to the call and pulled this individual out of the car and started doing life-saving measures, CPR right on the side of the road, and did everything he can to keep this gentleman alive who ended up surviving. And being a doctor, knew what that encounter with Jeff meant to sustaining his life. And from that day, the family and the kids and that individual just were obviously thankful to Jeff and the CPR he provided in saving his life. And every year he stays in contact with them.
Oh, wow. That's
so great. Jeff reached out to me a couple days ago and he goes, can you believe this has been 14 years? And he sent me the message from the doctor and they wanted to meet him again. And, you know, they always want to take him out to eat once a year on the anniversary or at least buy him some coffee or something. And it's just one of them feel good stories. You always hear about the bad stories, but this is just something where Jeff, he can go through his career. And if he, you know, he could always say, I did that one thing for that family and those kids and grandkids that are around to see their grandfather and everything. And just wanted to share that. Those stories really mean
that
a lot
great.
To us.
Yeah. And I want to say, because you guys need to know this, out when I'm out amongst the people, I never ever hear a negative story. It's always the positive stuff, which tells you, because we all have experienced.
Are you on Facebook by chance? Because there's negative
on Facebook. No, they're out there. But I mean, but now that's Facebook. And that's what I'm saying, though. But when people are talking, when they're reminiscing of saying, it's pretty good. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they, when they're actually communicating and not being trolls, the first thoughts that come to their mind are the positive thoughts. And that's what that is what's important. It doesn't mean there aren't incidents where like, man, I got pulled over. Yeah, I shouldn't have been pulled over. But the vast majority of it, the first thought are the positive thoughts.
Well, if you think about this, you know, we interacted with somebody 257,132 times last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the vast majority of them do go exceptionally well.
Yeah. Sure. And so that is amazing.
And Sergeant Anderson's story is just another example of the boots on the ground, true public service impact that our deputies have and can have and will have at some point in their career, where they literally saved somebody's life and now this man is around. And that impact, that point, you know, people call us when things are at the worst. And the first one there is somebody in green. And at that moment, the trajectory of that 911 call changes forever. And the impact that our deputies have day in and day out when people are calling 911, I don't think can be understated. Mm-hmm. And this story is just another example of the work and the impact that our
folks
have.
And it happens all the time. That's one story, but happens all the time.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
This is just one that they've continued for the 14 years.
That's correct.
You remember the old public information officer, Chris Padgett?
Yeah.
Me and Chris responded to a baby in a pool probably in like 2009. And the baby, it was terrible. The baby was in the pool for probably 10 minutes. And we revived that baby.
Oh, wow.
We got that baby back. But that's something 14 years later, or however long that's been. I can't do the math right now.
It's all right.
16 years. You wonder what that baby or what that teenager's doing now, you know? Well, this is one where Jeff gets to contact him every year and it gets refreshed. So that's
so we'd
cool.
like to appeal to anybody who's been pulled out of a pool as an infant to reach
yeah,
out.
Come yeah, come on, reach out to me.
I'd love to reconnect. That would
be
see
really
how you're
cool.
Doing. Yeah, that would be
Well, I'll
cool.
tell you my personal story really quickly is I've talked about on the show about when I was like 12 or 11, and we got held up at a Jiffy store. They almost abducted me, but Jesus. I still remember, I don't remember their name. And I apologize if you're out there listening, you are one of those deputies. Thank you. Because they treated it. I mean, I know they were going to go after the guy. I know that. But from my perspective, I felt like they were trying to resolve it to bring peace quickly. And they did, they found them that night. And that was, I would have not slept well knowing that guy was still out there. So, you know,
yeah. How old were you when that happened?
I was like, it was my first day of Boy Scouts. So whatever the youngest you can join, which I think is 11 or 12. So, you know,
that's just another example of impact. Like that is in your core memory now. You may not remember their names, but you remember how those deputies
I remember
came
how
in.
They acted and the professionalism, even back then, which is I'm 40, about to turn 47. So that gives you an idea of how long ago this was. But
young buck.
Yeah, isn't it great when 47's young? I remember, yeah.
Let's not even go there, guys. Yeah, let's not even go there.
And so I do want to go into these the year today. Yeah, but one thing that I'm going to get asked if I don't bring it up is how do you feel like the Clay County Fair went? Because we just got off of that. And
fantastic.
I know that.
Fantastic. You know,
I felt so too.
Yeah, we parked 60,000 cars. 170,000 people went into the fair.
Wow.
We had a parking issue one night for a few hours, which was Friday after everybody got off work and came to the fair. and we had several missing kids, including we did the Code Rainbow this year, which is a person with autism who's gone missing, and we add an extra layer by going to all the ponds and make sure that person hasn't entered into a pond. Oh,
that is a great idea. Yes. Wow.
Yep.
That is smart.
No major. I think 3 arrests total, and they were all for minor. So not, you know, it was a fantastic fair.
All those people you said with 3 arrests. That's just
170,000 people and 3
that
arrests.
That is amazing. Yeah. That is amazing. So I wanted to make sure we touch on that because I know people who listen to the fair episode are probably going, you never talked about the aftermath. So
we need to bring Tasha in and talk about the impact of the fair, because there's so many charities and organizations that are helped by the fair, and the fair is a nonprofit. So let's bring Tasha back.
We should do that. And one last thing for stats, because I want to, you got to give credit where credit is due. Talking about the impact on the community that y'all have, it's not just the police work. Like, I see y'all out there in the community doing charities, doing events just because to have a presence there, not to, I feel bad for you because I know your foot still hurts, and I see you at everything. Yeah. And it's not just, and I'm not talking about the stuff I'm at, I'm saying I see you through other people being like, oh yeah, I saw Sheriff Cook there. I saw, you know, like.
It's like there's 3 of her.
I know. And I don't think people fully appreciate the amount of dedication that takes. It's to be, and I've heard this from other counties where their sheriff is not as active, how much that means to people to say, wow, I saw them at this, you know, I saw them at the parade. And to your credit, this is because I saw you at the Middleburg Festival. You weren't out there to make a show. Like, that's what I think is the coolest thing. I always respect this, and mm-hmm. I'll give credit to you, and I'm going to give credit to Congressman Aaron Bean is like that. There's a lot of, actually, Clay County elected officials are really great about there. They're just there. Some elected officials make it a big production so that everybody knows, like, now announcing Sheriff Michelle Cook, let's get him out. You know, like, I mean, I'm serious. Right. Like, people do that, but and the negative is sometimes people don't know, they don't see you because you don't make a big splash of it. But I pay attention to this stuff, and I've always, but I hear other people where they're like, oh, did you know there was a coffee today at the church at, in Keystone, and I saw Sheriff Cook there. You weren't there. You know, I mean, like, right. You know, yeah. Like things like that. And, but it means so much to the people. So thank you. And wow, it adds up to your hours for like I the best analogy I ever heard, and it was, you didn't hear this, it was one of the previous sheriffs talking about your job now, said, oh, well, maybe you did hear him, it was Sheriff Beasler said this about, he said, you know, if you were to take the hours towards salary, this is like the worst paying job in the
absolutely.
If you got paid by the hour, you'd be on a boat.
Be like $7 an hour, right?
Probably less than
it's crazy.
I appreciate the kind words, and I'm gonna speak to that for just a minute. For a couple reasons. One, I love serving this community. Like, I grew up here. These are my people. This is my family. Everybody here, my folks laugh because, you know, they say that you're like 7 degrees of separation from mm-hmm. anybody else in the world. I'm like 1.5 degrees of separation from anybody in Clay County. So this is home for me. This is what I enjoy. But I also kind of twofold, as an elected official, I want the people in Clay County to know where I'm at and what I'm doing. Okay. They elected me. I think it's important to communicate with them where I'm at, what I'm doing. I also see it as continuing to build the relationship with the community, not for show, but the genuine relationships that have to naturally occur. And that happens when you spend time with people doing whatever they're doing. It's not come to me and see what I'm doing. It's, oh, you're going to have a cup of coffee. Can I join you? And sitting down with them and building those relationships, because, you know, there's going to be crisis at some point in everybody's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I want, through the relationship that I've built and our team has built with people, to have, if somebody needs help, that they're not afraid to call us, that they trust us, that they know, hey, if I call them, they're going to show up, they're going to act professional, and they're going to help me fix whatever bad thing is happening right now. And that's part of my, you know, that's part of my duty as the sheriff, is to make sure that our community knows that not only myself, but our team is here to help them.
Right. And one last thing, and we're going back to this. I apologize.
We're going back to staff.
But I've learned to do this, and I do think it's really important. And thank you to your family for allowing the community to share your time.
That's the crazy thing. Like, I was going to joke and say, do your dogs bark at you when you get home? Because they don't know who you are. But
teenagers do.
Trying to keep up with you is something that I don't want to do. It's impressive.
Right. And it is a tremendous sacrifice for families. So again, thank you to your family for allowing you to be shared with the community. That's very nice.
Thank you, Don, yes. My husband and my we have six kids. So Ashley, wow. Madison, Cody, Carly, Kaya, and Colby, two dogs and a cat.
Wow. I can barely remember Willard and Ryder, so that's my kids. Yes. I sometimes I'm like, what are their names again? No, I'm just kidding. That's impressive. Six. Okay. Let's go to year to date.
We're gonna bring it down now. Yep. I won't bore you to death. I think the year to date things always keep you on track with, you know, how you're doing.
Right.
Are you doing as good as you should? Can you improve? So just a couple things to throw at you. Like 911 calls year to date, we're at 6,100. So it's very similar to last year. Last year was 6,150 at this time. So
that's amazing.
Right on track. 9 emergency calls year to date, we're at 11,861. So the times they called for just anything, could be advice, it could be, you know, barking dog, as we discussed, down just a little bit, about 2% from last year. Safer Watch, something we use local here for, you know, citizens and stuff to contact us or take pictures of things that
download the app
are happening yep. as they, you know, as they occur. We love to see that. That's up 22% for the year where people are utilizing that.
And is that the best non-emergency way to contact? What is the best? I know it's at the end of the day, it's whatever you need to do, but is that the best non-emergency way?
I mean, the best, I think, is the phone. I mean, if you really need us and you're like, I'm not sure if I should call 911, sometimes we say, yeah, you probably should have called 911.
Right.
So I'd say the 264-6512, but Safer Watch right behind that. The good thing about Safer Watch is sometimes you want to be involved but not involved, and you can kind of, you know, you can send something to us and say, hey, this is going on right now, and here's the tag, and here's the vehicle, and then our real-time crime center can shoot that out to the deputies working that area. So that's fantastic.
And Safer Watch allows you to attach photos and video, yeah.
too. Oh, wow.
So if you see a suspicious person, let's say you're in an apartment complex, you're looking out your window, and you see a suspicious person pulling on door handles, you can snap a photo of that person and send it to us. So instead of trying to describe the person, send us the actual photo. Yeah,
send us the photo.
And I would say if you're thinking of reporting, because we've talked about this on a previous episode, but if there's ever a doubt, there's probably no doubt. If your spider sense is tingling and you're going, should I? I feel like I probably, yeah, guess what? Just go ahead. It's not going to hurt. I mean.
You make a great point. I was at a community HOA meeting last night, and some of the complaints, very minor once again, great community, great neighborhood, but one of their complaints was kids trespassing at the amenity centers at night. And they were, you know, to them, that was the most important criminal problem they had in this neighborhood. And we pulled the stats for the year and somebody called one time.
Wow.
So we're like, you've got to let us know. And we can handle the problem, but we got to know about the problem.
Remember, we're covering 644 yeah. square miles
right.
with about 20 people. Yeah. But we will come to you, but you have to call.
You got to know about it.
Yeah, we got to know about it. So self-initiated calls, which I love because that's that deputy. They're out there being proactive. They're trying to find the people that are about to commit some crimes. They're up 10%, which is great.
That's amazing.
Curfew violations. Why are those important? Because usually when teenagers are out after curfew,
they're
not all
trouble?
Of them, but sometimes they're doing bad. That's up 33%, where we're actually making contact with teens who are in violation of curfew. Are we trying to hammer them or ruin their future? Absolutely not. We're probably taking them, making contact with your parent and saying, hey, your kid's out after curfew.
As we all fondly think back to when we were kids and didn't have those laws.
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
different world.
Different world.
Domestic violence calls are down 21%. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's not good.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we want to hear about those. We don't want these people living in a violent situation and not calling us. So they are down. Hopefully they're down because there's less of it, but and not less reporting of it.
And I'm going to do a little soapbox here for a second because I've read this online about how, you know, there's if you aren't comfortable because you're worried you're going to find there are creative ways you can report it. I was reading online, like somebody called the pizza place yeah. and they said a weird thing that, you know, I mean, I hate that you're in that situation. Yeah, so we're going to try to get you out, or y'all are going to try to get out. But I'll, you know, they're
terrible.
Yeah.
Some crashes, obviously, back to traffic. Motorcycle crashes are down. Year to date, we had 14. Last year, we're down to 11. So that's just people, less distraction, pay attention.
That was motorcycles or?
Motorcycles.
Oh, wow.
Pedestrians are way down, which I love, too. That's another thing. Pay attention to your crosswalks. You know, that old turning right but looking left, mm-hmm. and then that pedestrians crossing that crosswalk.
That place on Eagle Harbor, I'm always the most worried about.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Those are down, though. That's a great
thing. That's
great. We already talked about how many traffic stops they did, but citations, as I said, half are warnings. One thing I do want to touch base with, it still boggles my mind that people still in this day and age make the decision to drink and drive.
Get an Uber.
They're up. They're up a little bit. We DUI citations year to date last year were at 64. Now they're at 97 year to date. So people are still making that bad decision, not calling Uber, not calling a family member, and getting behind that wheel. And
or have a DD, you know, just alternate. Be like, okay, this is your you know,
this is your night.
This is your night.
So I'd love to, obviously I want to see that go down. We'll touch on a little bit of person's crimes.
What is the, never mind. I'm going to ask this later. Well, I'm curious because there's the arrests, and then you might not have the stat ready. So I apologize, but do you have the stat on DUI incidents where it's DUI has resulted in there? Because you said that it's up, and I'm thinking goes up, probably the incidents go down of actual like drunk driving accidents and things like that.
That's hard to – drunk driving accidents typically take a long time to determine that because blood alcohol levels have to be done. And that mm-hmm. has to go off to a lab, and then there has to be a finding. So there's many times – that we don't even know. The state might know on their end mm-hmm. when they go to prosecute, but we formally won't know until sometimes 6 months, a year later, when it's all divulged of, mm-hmm. you know, this was the crash. Oh, this was their blood alcohol level at the time of the crash. So yep. Once we have the probable cause for the arrest, we put them in jail, and then there's a bunch of stuff that's done on the other end at the state attorney's office.
Yeah. Exactly.
And we have a backlog, I've heard, in Florida about toxicology reports. I don't know if it's a real thing or something that somebody read online.
I don't know for sure, but would not surprise me just because of staffing
issues. I think that was what I heard. It was a staffing
post-COVID
thing. I think it was a toxicology thing from – I don't think it's for things where you need it. I think it's the you know, you're waiting on a loved one that wasn't – you know, that type of thing. So and you got to remember people, there are priorities. If you're trying to stop a murderer,
correct.
That's going to take priority over, sure. over something else.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yep.
Some person's crimes that are awesome. And the robbery homicide team's probably going to hunt me down today when I say this, but it's just incredible. Zero homicides year to date.
Knocking on wood.
On everything we got.
That is actually staggering. That's,
yeah, like I said, they'll chase me down tonight for saying that because
we don't say it because we don't want it to change.
Sex offenses across the board down 22% year to date.
That is great,
which is incredible. And robberies, either you know, when you say robbery, the listeners sometimes think that guy's with the ski mask in the bank. Robberies can be as simple as two teenagers and I snatch your cell phone from you. That's technically a robbery. That's down 4% year to date.
Oh, wow.
The one thing that's up that I want the listeners to be aware of, especially if they're local, is fraud. And a lot of that is our elderly community being victimized. You know, someone taking advantage of them. All these text messages. I just shared one with you on the break that I got on my phone. These people that are out there just trying to scheme and get over on people, and just be smart about it. If you're unsure, talk to your daughter or your son and say, hey, I got this. Is this legit? What do you think about this? The calls that, you know, you're about to be arrested on a warrant, all them types of things. Just think before you act and hit those links and give people your personal information, because frauds are up pretty good this year.
And let me say this. If you're listening to this, you know, be aware. But I want everybody to take the time to talk to one more person about fraud.
Yeah.
Preferably an elderly person.
That's a great
idea. Talk to one more person about fraud. If somebody contacts you and they have detailed information about you, and there's a sense of urgency that if you don't do this now, you will go to jail or somebody will die. Those are all indicators of fraud. And these criminals do their homework. And, you know, right now we have there's a warrant for you. And if you don't give us $4,000 now, we're going to come arrest you. And in fact, we were working a case the other day. We were hoping to catch the guy. But it was a firefighter who they convinced his wife had a warrant. And this firefighter is not a dumb guy. And they am convinced that his wife had a warrant and that if he didn't come send them the money, they were going to go get her from work. They knew where she worked and put her in jail. So he was on his way to the bank to get money. And he said, you know what, let me text Michelle Cook and ask her if this is legit. And so I caught up. This is funny because I caught up with him in the parking lot and he had the suspect on the phone. And I told the guy the potential victim to be quiet. And I said, hey, this is Deputy Cook with the Clay County Sheriff's Office. Who am I speaking with? And he gave like John Smith. And I said, well, I don't know you, John Smith. Do you work at the Clay County Sheriff's Office? And he goes, yes, I work at the Clay County Sheriff's Office. And I said, well, who's your supervisor? And he goes, what? I said, well, he goes, I don't know. I said, well, who's your director? Because there's only four directors, right? That you pick one. And he goes, I don't know. And I said, what is your name again? And he goes, what is your name? And I said, what is your ID number? He goes, what is your ID number?
S-O-1.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to say that. So he went back and forth for a few minutes, and then he realized that we knew that it was a scam. Then he called me a bunch of bad names and hung up.
Because they're so believable.
So believable nowadays.
Like with I'll give you another example with the tolls. Like the Easy Pass.
Mm-hmm.
So you could call someone, because I heard this one, and be like, you're about to be arrested because you didn't pay your tolls on, you know. Well, I have Easy Pay. Well, it must not have went through because you got some backlogged fees that you have not paid, and we sent you. No, I didn't get no notice. Well, I'll tell you what, you can pay for it now. And we'll drop it. You know, someone that's so believable for someone who's just, a little vulnerable.
If you are a loved one or a friend, and let's talk about this, do your plus one more person talk about it. Get a phone call or contact it. And there's a sense of urgency that if you don't pay money or Bitcoin or gift card right now, something bad's going to happen. That is a scam. Period.
The best advice that I was given on a corporate level for this when we did our training was, don't engage. If you're not sure, don't engage. Mm-hmm. And that's honestly, and what amazed me was the amount of that people, even the people who like, oh, I know it's a scam, I'm going to engage with them and mess with them. That actually is sometimes part of their plan. I got a whole briefing on this, which was fascinating. Not what y'all get on it, but it was from a corporate level. It was very fascinating about this, that's sometimes part of the plan. Apparently if you engage, they know, like they'll hit you with a lesser scam to see if you'll engage, because if you're an engager, you're more likely to fall for this other scam that they've actually got planned.
Wow.
And things like that. But look, I would encourage you this. If you don't recognize a number, don't answer it.
Oh, you know what? The number they used the other day for the firefighter was a spoof. It was our number.
Oh, it was spoofed. Yeah. Yeah, wow. They can spoof too. That's true.
They can spoof. And I'll tell you a real quick sad story. A wonderful lady that I know works very hard for her money. Very, very hard for her money. They scammed her for $8,000. It was right before Christmas.
Mm.
And she was so convinced that this was real that they told her somebody was going to come by her house and get the money from her. And so she baked cookies and put the cookies and the cash in a Christmas tin and handed it over.
Did we get them?
No.
Oh.
Because you know what? She didn't report it because she was embarrassed.
She told
me a couple, probably about a month ago at a community meeting, and she didn't want to. She didn't want anything done because she was so embarrassed.
Mm.
And that, you know how horrible that is? Because she's an elderly lady and this is her savings.
Yeah,
that is
horrible.
So that's that. I'm on a personal mission this year to fight scammers.
I love that. I love that. And you should. And another tip is, if they call you, like if it says Clay County Sheriff's Office. Guess what? Call them. Go look up the real number. Call it back and verify. That was what we were taught on a corporate level for credit card stuff is. Because you'll get this all the time. Your credit card's calling to verify a thing. If they do that, say, I'm going to call you back from the number on the back of my card. And if they're legit, they'll say, that'd be great.
Yep.
Yes.
If they're not.
They're going to give you all the reasons. If you hang up now,
yes.
We're going to cut off your car. We're going to put you in jail. If you hang up now, we're going
to,
you know.
I would love to see, and I know this is something that y'all probably would too. I'd love to see. I don't know what the solution is, but harsher penalties, more funding. There's got
to
be.
It's hard to catch these guys.
That's the problem.
A lot of them, they're
overseas too.
Overseas, yeah.
Yeah. But if there were, I don't know what, I'd like to see that these type of things be severely punishable to the fact that people get afraid to do them.
Yes. Yes.
So that's me on my soapbox because it annoys me.
But that's it for, that's about it.
Okay. So we've got a few minutes left though. I want to talk about the 2024 priorities because I'm excited about it. What are our priorities in 2024?
Yeah. So we got some good stuff happening. A couple of things. I want to remind everybody of our vision, the vision of the Clay County Sheriff's Office, which is to foster a safe community where families and businesses thrive. I was at a community meeting last night, had chamber people there, and I talked to the whole group about how our mission statement, we believe in families and businesses, and we want them to be safe and feel safe. So that is our vision. Our mission is to selflessly serve our community with honor and courage, and our values, integrity, caring, excellence, and teamwork. So every year we come up with our priorities, and these are sort of large, high altitude ideas. And then everything we do has to align with the priorities. And our priorities for 2024 include growth, where we will remain steadfast in our commitment to provide a high level of service to our ever-growing community. And we're going to do that by identifying and capitalizing on efficiencies internally, focus on employee development and wellness, and the smart utilization of technology and equipment as a force multiplier. Our second priority is relationships. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. We're going to continue to build and foster genuine and productive relationships with other elected officials, our citizens, and even each other internally. And we do that by focusing in on the trust of our community and maintaining that, remaining transparent to our citizens, and ensuring that we follow up with our citizens, which I think is something we're really good at. We close the loop, so to speak. And then our third priority, and this is really why law enforcement exists, why we exist, is we will continue to be dedicated to the continued reduction of crime and fear of crime. And we'll do that by having flexible resource management. As an assistant chief or chief, Dominic does not have to come ask me permission to move stuff around if he sees an issue. He's got the authority to do that. We want an active and maintain an active understanding of our issues. Sometimes perception is reality, and we have to be keenly aware of that. So we know what our issues are and how our citizens are feeling, and then really streamlining criminal intelligence, which is something we're working on right now. And all the bits of information that come in, you know, how do we best collect that and vet that very quickly and then address the important issues that are happening. So that's what we're focused in on. We've got our High Ridge initiative that we're helping out on and our Gateway to Clay initiative.
We do.
Which I've heard an update from some of the businesses. I don't know if you even
Gateway
know
to Clay.
They were very excited about the progress and how much their businesses are thriving on that area.
Yes,
they are.
So it is so cool because I get to have this interaction with y'all to hear the other interaction from citizens talking about how excited they are about the future and what you're providing and the safety and
I had a meeting growth. Yesterday with Gateway to Clay. And I threw something out there that I think I'm not going to talk fishing, but I drew it from my fishing experience on tournaments for Gateway to Clay. So they wanted to do another walk or like a 5K run. And I said, why don't we do a trash slam? And what that is basically people can show up on Wells Road. We're going to have a weigh station. And you give somebody a 5-gallon bucket and you send them out in the Wells Road area. And they have an hour, 2 hours to come back. and you weigh the amount of trash they pick up.
I love it. That is great.
And you have obviously some like donated prizes or something, and the person that picks up the most wins. Not that it's dirty, but they're going to have to hunt it down. But
I love it.
You know what I love about this vision too, that I always, when I read it, is my favorite part of that is a community where families and businesses thrive.
I love that part
too. Not survive, like thrive, you know, because I've lived in those communities where you're surviving. This, the thriving part is what I think they love the most.
Absolutely.
I like it.
All right. Well, thank you for a great show. And I will plug that. Please, if you have an idea for a show of something you'd like us to talk, because send it to sheriff@claysheriff.com and say, you know, I'd like to hear about XYZ or whatever it is. And that'll give us a show, because there's so many wonderful people in the department that would come and speak to their area of expertise. So it'd be great to get your ideas.
Yes.
And you are listening to Never Off Duty.